Good evening, all you sports fans, and welcome to the late night edition of the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge. I am your host, Richard Holdridge. Happy to be here with a very special guest. He's Philip Jordan from the Philip Jordan Show. He also is really just a media mogul down in Dothan, Alabama, part of the Dothan Wolves broadcast, a big Dothan Wolves football a media person for the Dothan Wolves who had an incredible season. And Philip, it's great having you back here on the show.
Richard, I'm glad you asked me on. I'm looking forward to this. You told me some topics off air that we're going to discuss. I'm very excited about talking some of them. And I think if I was playing for the Dothan Wolves, it would have been a bad year for the team. But I'm glad to be on here. I'm glad you asked me.
Well, you know, I had to prep you because we are live on Facebook, Twitter, and you could share it and follow it, and hopefully your friends could be watching. But the reason why I have you on the show, you know, we have a lot of sporting events to talk about. I mean, we got Super Bowl Sunday coming up next week, the Chiefs and the Eagles. We'll get a prediction from you, but I do want to start out with Alabama football. You know, being from Dothan, you're in the backyard of Alabama and Auburn, and being an Auburn fan, it kind of seems like the Alabama Crimson Tide are trying to just change things up, because things really weren't working with Pete Goulding as their defensive coordinator and Bill O'Brien. I think the Alabama fans wanted to run Bill O'Brien out of town. Well, they got their wish. Bill O'Brien becomes the offensive coordinator for the New England Patriots, and they get Tommy Rees, the former quarterback from Notre Dame. He was the offensive coordinator under Marcus Freeman for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. And a guy you're familiar with, being an Auburn fan, Kevin Steele, is now the defensive coordinator for the University of Alabama. And to top it all off, they had the number one recruiting class. But so what's your thoughts on Alabama with the two new coordinators?
So I will start with Kevin Steele. Let's just go with that one. Old snake in the grass, as I like to call him, Kevin Steele. Yeah, he was former Auburn defense coordinator. Look, I'll say this. I have some problems with Kevin Steele as a person. I think he's a despicable human being. I don't think he's that great of a person. Now, as a coach, I think it's terrific. And his familiarity with Saban, this is the third stint Kevin Steele will have there at Alabama under Nick Saban. So, yeah, he'll run Alabama's offense, defense like they want to. I mean, it's very similar to what Nick Saban wants to. Obviously, that's where he comes from. But Nick Saban doesn't have to worry about Kevin Steele the way Gus Malzahn did when he was at Auburn. So I guess don't have to worry about turning your back to him. But no, Kevin Steele's a really good defense coordinator. So Alabama got a good hire there. Pete Golding was always one of the scapegoats for fans. Richard, I'm going to say this about Alabama fans. This is something that bothers me. They never want to blame Nick Saban. Any other program will blame the head coach. No, it's always the coordinator's fault at Alabama when they struggle. And on defense, why is it Nick Saban? He is the defensive guy. But anyways, great hire getting Kevin Steele. He's a good coach. Just, you know, watch your back if you're anybody there at Tuscaloosa. For Tommy Rees, this is a very intriguing hire. And it says something, too, because I don't know if you remember, when Brian Kelly went to LSU, he wanted Tommy Rees to come with him. But he stayed at Notre Dame. See, now, and Tommy Rees made all about Notre Dame. He went to school there, blah, 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 blah. What it really tells you, he didn't like Brian Kelly. He didn't want to go with Brian Kelly. Now you're going to Alabama. Now, I do wonder who the quarterback will be. Jalen Milroe was the guy that played in replacement of Bryce Young against Texas A&M when he was out. Milroe, to me, does not fit what Tommy Rees normally had at Notre Dame quarterback, which is more of a pro-style offense, a pro-style attack. Milroe's kind of like a Jalen Hurts, a lesser probably version of Jalen Hurts, but he's a lot like Jalen Hurts. So I don't see him as a fit in Tommy Rees's offense. But Alabama fans will be happy about this. We know Notre Dame run the football with Tommy Rees as offensive coordinator. That has been a big problem the last 2 years, and even a couple coordinators past, Lane Kiffin was another issue with Alabama fans, not running the ball, putting the ball in the hands of quarterback too much. I understand you do it when you got a Bryce Young, but I do believe Alabama will be more of a running team with Tommy Rees as their offensive coordinator.
And, of course, your Auburn Tigers, Hugh Freeze, We just had National Signing Day. I know that the February 1st National Signing Day kind of gets overlooked, but now we could start seeing the recruiting class. I mean, I didn't take a look exactly where Auburn was ranked. I know that Alabama, Georgia, and LSU were ranked 1, 2, and 3. Tennessee had a top five recruiting class. How did Auburn do in National Signing Day?
Nationally, I believe they were at 16th. I know that's where they were at the first signing period, which is really the real one. You're right. The February signing period just doesn't have the same feel that it did. The same, you know, allure to people, but they don't pay attention to it as much. But I tell you where Hugh Freeze has really improved the offense or the team. That was the transfer portal. And that was for me going the whole thing with Lane Kiffin. I always said, now, if Lane Kiffin become the head coach at Auburn, we know what he can do in the transfer portal. He has labeled himself the portal king. He could rebuild the roster. And Auburn, deficient of talent all over the place. And then when you look at who they've lost, Tank Bigsby on offense, Derek Hall on defense, including many others, Owe Papo, Colby Wooden, a lot of guys. But I will say this, Hugh Freeze has done a good job bringing in talent via the transfer portal. They have addressed their issues on the offensive line. They've got a couple of guys coming in that should be potential starters on offensive line. They went and got some receivers as well. And defensive line, they've improved there. They had some solid players coming back on that side of the ball, but they brought in some guys with experience in Power 5. They got a guy from – they got a kid from Kentucky coming in. He started all year for Kentucky on the defensive line, plenty of experience there. They have got guys all over the place there. Linebacker, they got some SEC guys there. So, really where he has really made an impact is the transfer portal. They still don't have a quarterback. I don't think Robbie Ashford is the answer long-term throughout the season. But, hey, I think we're going to have some more quarterbacks at the portal, obviously, after spring when that 15-day window hits. So, but Hugh Freeze has done a really good job when it comes to the transfer portal and rebuilding the Auburn roster.
Now, you being from Dothan, Alabama, you're pretty much covering sports in Dothan. You're in the backyard of Troy. I mean, I know that they're huge Troy, Alabama, Troy Trojans football fans. Had a great season. Beat a UTSA in that bowl game to get their 12th win. I mean, is that the most wins in Troy program history?
It's up there. I mean, FBS-wise, it is. Since they joined the FBS, they did have a couple 10-11 win seasons with Neil Brown. But, yeah, and just what they did in year one under John Summerall is terrific. And really, the offense wasn't great a lot, Richard. I mean, there were some low-scoring games, but the Troy defense – we just saw Carlton Marshall. He only participated one practice in the Senior Bowl, but he is a guy interesting where he'll land, undersized as a linebacker, probably looking more as a safety-type player. But, man, John Summerall, first year. And I'll tell you what, a big difference in talking to people that cover Troy, they're there every day with the team. The difference between a John Summerall and a Chip Lindsey is – you saw it in the first game this past year against Ole Miss. There was a penalty, a call winning against the Trojans. They called a penalty on John Summerall for unsportsmanlike because he was just so mad, but he was fighting for the players. You never saw that with Chip Lindsey. Chip Lindsey, his 3 years at Troy, they never got past 5 wins. And the fact that John Summerall was able to get this team to 12 wins, winning the Sun Belt, they blew out Coastal Carolina in the Sun Belt championship game. With pretty much Chip Lindsey's roster, says a lot about the coach that John Summerall is. But now you kind of, if you're a Troy fan, you got to be worried because if they have another really good year, you got to think some bigger schools are going to come calling for him, like West Virginia did when they came and got Neil Brown.
All right, let's transition from the gridiron to the hardwood because this Saturday, College Game Day is going to be at Neville Arena. It's probably going to be the biggest Alabama-Auburn basketball game in school history. Alabama right now, I mean, I'm looking at my I do my bracketology show on Tuesdays. Right now, Alabama is a number one seed if they take care of business. They got to beat Tennessee, and they got to beat Auburn. But Auburn can spoil the party. First of all, I think they should have beat Tennessee on Saturday. They got hosed. You know, you go cold shooting like that in that first half, and Tennessee was able to get the victory. I think that Tennessee can get a number one seed. But, I mean, this is a big game, and they're going to play each other again. I mean, I know you being an Auburn fan, I know that they are, they have to be excited about Alabama and Auburn basketball. I know that it takes a backseat to football, but this is going to be the biggest game at Neville Arena for Auburn and Alabama in school history.
Yeah, it's a shame Auburn's no longer ranked to make, you know, to make this a ranked.
The new AP ranked poll came out. You're right. They're unranked now.
Yeah, so they fell out of the poll. You know, going before last week when Texas A&M beat Auburn, Auburn had a 28-game winning streak at home. Auburn's a different team at home. They don't really struggle at home. The A&M game they did a little bit. But and that crowd's going to be for them. They're going to have a raucous crowd there at Neville Arena. As you said, game day is there. Bruce Pearl will have the team ready to go. And this is going to be a tough task. I think, one, for Alabama, this will probably be the toughest environment they've played in this season. And we saw what happened a couple weeks ago in the SEC Big 12 Challenge when they went to Oklahoma. Oklahoma's not a great team, but Oklahoma did everything they wanted against Alabama. Alabama struggled. They got frustrated early. While Alabama is a talented team, they've got some really young players there, including their best player in Brandon Miller. Auburn's going to play great defense, but that's going to be Auburn's shot in this game is great defense. If Alabama's able to run their offense and put up points, hitting threes, Auburn's going to be in trouble because Auburn is not a great offensive team. They're not, by any stretch of imagination, a good three-point shooting team. So Auburn's defense is going to have to really be on point on Saturday to give them a chance in this game.
Well, you saw Alabama throw a ton of money at Nate Oates. They gave him a contract extension. I think the success of Alabama basketball starts when they looked at Auburn and they saw what their rival did, reaching the Final Four in 2019. And Alabama, with all this money they earned from football, now with NIL money, they can go spend money and get top players to go play at the University of Alabama on the basketball side. I think with NIL, I think the Blue Bloods are not going to dominate. You're not going to see a Duke, North Carolina, Kansas, Michigan State, or Kentucky Final Four anymore. I think that you're going to see some parity. You're going to see a Purdue make the Final Four, well, even though Purdue is traditionally a basketball school. But you're going to see Alabama or Auburn making the Final Four, Tennessee making the Final Four. I think that NIL has really changed the game in college basketball.
You're right, it has. And the SEC, I mean – by 5 years, no, before Bruce Pearl came in, and then Rick Barnes being hired at Tennessee, and then Alabama, their first response to Bruce Pearl was Avery Johnson. That he did some good things. He recruits some good players, but I think Avery Johnson, he's a pro coach. He's not a college coach. I don't know how much of the recruiting part of it he enjoyed, but then Nate Oates comes in. That's, and then there's been other coaches they've brought into as well in the SEC. It's not just Kentucky and everybody else anymore. And look, we even saw this year there was points where the Kentucky fans were ready to run John Calipari out of town. They were ready for him to go take the Texas job. They wanted Calipari gone. So the SEC is much better in basketball. Is it the best basketball conference? No, we saw that what happened when they played the Big 12 a few weeks ago in the Big 12 SEC Challenge, where Big 12 won 7 of the 10 games. But you're right. It is an opportunity now for not just the Blue Bloods. I mean, Duke is not, obviously, with Coach Gale, they're not what they were. North Carolina, it has not lived up to the hype coming into this season. Kansas had two straight losses before they played Kentucky in that challenge we talked about. They had a blowout loss to TCU and some other losses there as well. So you can obviously tell in college basketball, there's more opportunity for some of the, I wouldn't say lesser teams, but more teams that haven't traditionally been good at basketball are now rising up, like Alabama and Auburn. Because I remember used to, Richard, the best program in the state was UAB, but now it's Alabama and Auburn. And I really think it's really good for this state that basketball becomes such a big thing, because it was just football, maybe a little baseball, softball, but it's all around. Auburn and Alabama, they are everything schools. They're not just football schools.
Well, you're right, and we did get a little bit of parity. Baylor won the title in 2021. Virginia won the title in 2019. A little bit of parity, you know, Kansas winning it last year. I think Kansas would have won it in 2020, but the whole season was canceled because of COVID. But it's going to be very interesting to see as we are, what was February 6th today, we're about a month and probably 5 weeks away from Selection Sunday, where we get to fill out our brackets. And I don't know about you, Philip. I never get it right. I never do. But you talked about those teams in Alabama We do have one team that's standing above everybody in the state of Georgia, and that is Kennesaw State University. I've called it. You know, I used to live 10 minutes from the campus. Kennesaw State University is going to make it to the NCAA tournament. I'm actually going to have a KSU alum on this show, and we are just going to talk up Kennesaw State. I used to go to, like, when I lived up in the metro Atlanta area, I used to go to their games all the time. But you've seen a school like Jacksonville State. I mean, what is that school in Alabama that just comes out of nowhere and makes a huge run in the tournament? Have you ever had a team from Alabama like that?
UAB made a run, I think, in the mid-2000s. They made a run to the Sweet 16. Yeah, they got knocked off. I think they beat Kentucky along the way. Troy's never had a really big run. South Alabama still, you know, that's not a team you see. But, yeah, I think that UAB team, you know, Jacksonville State did make the tournament last year, and they gave Auburn some trouble in the first round. Auburn had to fight them off, and the second half blew them out. First half, they hit a bunch of threes on Auburn to kind of Auburn seemed a little shell shot in the first round. But yeah, you haven't really seen that outside of UAB.
All right, Philip, we're going to talk about the Super Bowl. We're about less than a week away. They're having media days. You have the Philadelphia Eagles taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. It's not a Super Bowl that I'm really interested in rooting for a team. I mean, I'm not a fan of either team. Both teams have won Super Bowls in the last 5 years. The winner of this Super Bowl could say that they have two Super Bowls in the last 5 years. And if the Chiefs win, I think the Chiefs are expected to win because they have Patrick Mahomes, and they're the new dynasty of the 2020s. They have the most continuity. They have the most sustainability with Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy as their offensive coordinator and Steve Spagnuolo as their defensive coordinator. They still have all those pieces except Tyreek Hill that won the Super Bowl in 2020. The Eagles, and you being from Alabama, you know the story about Jalen Hurts and how he came up and – you know, he got benched in the national championship game against Georgia for Tua, and then the following year, Tua gets injured. He comes in and just a heroic effort. I think the Jalen Hurts story is fascinating, but what is the storyline that you're intrigued the most with this upcoming Super Bowl?
I don't think it's getting talked about a lot, but I would say for me, the legacy of the Kansas City Chiefs. This is their third Super Bowl. Now they're 1-1. They obviously won the first one. They beat the 49ers. And then they returned and they played Tampa Bay. Now, going into that game, we know that they had some injuries up front on offensive line. Tampa Bay constantly put pressure on Patrick Mahomes, and they got blown out on that one. So what would it say about the Kansas City Chiefs if they lose to the Eagles, and now Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid are now 1-2 in Super Bowls? Now, you will say, well, they'll make a return trip. That may be the case. But you got to deal with the Bengals. I would feel the Buffalo Bills will make some improvements. And if the Chargers could ever get a good head coach, they got everything there too. So the AFC is not necessarily easy to get out of. You know, it seems like it is with the Chiefs. So that's kind of something I'm looking at. This is big because, and I look at that Eagles team, Richard, they've got the front to give Patrick Mahomes trouble. You know, he's still going to be recovering from that ankle injury. He should be better than what he was against the Bengals, and he played really, really good against the Bengals. Threw for over 300 yards, showed us that he is more than just a quarterback that runs around, makes crazy passes. He is a guy that can sit in a pocket and pick you apart, which he did that. Now, I did see on Monday, Clyde Edwards-Helaire will be active for the game. Now, Mecole Hardman, receiver, will not be in the game, so that's also big. But for me, I don't think people are talking about it, and I'm not overlooking the Eagles at all, but still, this is the third Super Bowl for Mahomes and Andy Reid. Will they be 2-1 or will they be 1-2? That's actually something, a big storyline I don't think we talked about that I'm looking at.
It is a fascinating story, and I know, you know, the last football game, but you know, we still got football left. I mean, this is going to be the first year where we're going to have the XFL and the USFL. The Birmingham Stallions are defending their championship, but it's going to be a fun year in the USFL. I know that, you know, being from Alabama, I know you've got a lot of Birmingham Stallion fans out there, and you also got the Memphis Showboats coming back in the USFL, and also, Philip, you're a Columbus Lions fan. So, yes, they're not going to be in the NAL, but they're going to be in the American Alliance Football League. And I'm actually looking forward to the Columbus Lions season. It starts May the 12th. I think they play the South Florida Thunder. You know, for people who don't know who Phillip Jordan is, you know, being a guest on my show, just a little bit of a background. I mean, you are a Columbus Lions fan. You're from Dothan, Alabama, are part of the, 96.9 on the radio station there, calling the Dothan Wolves. You're the play-by-play guy for the Dothan Wolves, right?
No. I am the in-studio host and producer. I'm back.
Okay.
Yeah, I host the scoreboard, the halftime scoreboard in after the game, and then I'm the guy in the studio pushing the buttons and making sure everybody stays on the air, and okay. We go to commercial
like
when we're supposed to.
Like me.
Yeah, I am. I've done play-by-play at a previous stop a little bit. I did a little bit of that. But, yeah, for 96.9, I am the in-studio host and producer. But I do host a podcast during the season called the Wiregrass High School Football Report.
That's right. I remember that one.
As well, basically talk to the coaches throughout the area. So that's kind of like my role to do for them. And, hey, you talk about Auburn. I do write about Auburn for a Last Word on College Football as well. Great site, a lot of great team of writers. And still doing the Phillip Jordan show for now. But I've got a YouTube channel, too, where I put all our videos up, too. Right now it's the Phillip Jordan Show YouTube channel. So I'm all over the place, Richard. Just tell everybody to follow me at PJordanSEC on Twitter. That's the best way to keep up with me.
Yes, you and I are very similar. We are both very busy, you know, doing the in-production studio. You have multiple podcasts. You're really covering it down in Dothan, Alabama. I'm trying to keep it locked down up here in Columbus, Georgia, you know, calling games for the indoor soccer team, the Columbus Lions, high school football, high school basketball. I mean, there are times that, you know, if I go to a high school football game or a basketball game, I'll just – you know, bring out my phone and go Facebook Live. I mean, because I really just want to make sure that these games get covered. I mean, and I love just covering sporting events just like you do. And, you know, the Dothan Wolves had an incredible season on the gridiron. They made the playoffs in 7A. Unfortunately, they lost. And I think they lost to what, Auburn?
They did
lose to Auburn. I do remember that. Auburn ended up losing to Thompson, who won their fourth straight state title with an eighth grader at quarterback. You remember, you've heard about that?
Oh, yeah. I watched it. I watched the game.
Oh, man.
And honestly, because I'm so – it's kind of like I'm in a bubble a little bit here in the Wiregrass. I'm so focused on our teams and what they're doing here. I mean, I know Thompson's good. I know that. But it's kind of – I wasn't too familiar with them because the one Dothan doesn't play them as another part of it. Watching the game, I thought he was a senior. Just the way he plays and carries himself. I mean, just carries himself like he's a veteran, like he's been playing for years. And then you look up and you said, this is an eighth grader. And I just can't imagine what his high school career and what his recruitment's going to be like moving forward. We already see some big schools already going and visiting with him and talking to him. Obviously, they can't offer him a scholarship yet. But it's going to be interesting going forward there. And my thing is, can anybody in 7A knock off Thompson? That's another part of it.
Well, I mean, I thought that Central had the team to do it. Auburn goes to the state championship. Who knows? But you talk about that eighth grade that plays for Thompson. You know, this past weekend, I was actually with my family at the community pool, and there was a rec league going on. And I remember witnessing this kid who was twice the size of all the other kids playing in this rec league for basketball. And this kid scored all the points, blocked all the shots. I think the score was like 24-0. That's these young kids like this eighth grader for Thompson, probably like when LeBron was in junior high. I don't know when these kids have a growth spurt, but the Central Lady Red Devils basketball team, this high school basketball team in Phoenix City, they've got a freshman phenom, Jabria Lindsay, averaging 23 points a game. I can almost guarantee you she's going to get recruited by UConn or South Carolina. I know that the head coach here at Columbus State is looking at her. But you have a seventh grader that plays for Calvary Christian, you know, so these players, they're getting younger and they're getting better. When I was in high school, I mean, you had to be a superstar to be, you know, a seventh grader or eighth grader playing on the varsity. Cause the varsity was for the older kids. They were for like, you know, the Stetson Bennett's of the world, you know, the more older, more mature kids, but that's not the case. If you have the talent, they're going to let you play.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw, because I don't, I'm sure a lot of people didn't pay attention to it over the weekend, but the Pro Bowl games, I don't know if you saw it, but Marshall Manning, Peyton Manning's son, I don't know if you saw the video, he was throwing around with some of the NFL receivers. Of course, Peyton Manning was a coach. I tell you what, we all talk about Arch Manning, you know, the nephew of Eli and Peyton, son of Cooper. Marshall was throwing, he was dropping some dimes out there throwing the ball too. He's already got an arm. I think they said he was 11 years old. So soon we're going to be fully engulfed with Mannings. I believe Eli has a son. Obviously Peyton. You have Arch going to Texas. Get ready. I think I also saw that Peyton Manning is also trying to convince Kirby Smart into recruiting his son. So
that would be incredible. Of course, you know, living in Georgia, I mean, we're all happy that Georgia won their second straight national championship. I don't know if they're going to three-peat. It's never been done. Stetson Bennett is leaving for the NFL. But, you know, Stetson Bennett had such a successful season because he was 25 years old. You know, Philip, I went back to college, and I was a 26-year-old. And, you know, when I was in college, we had what was called intramural sports. And so I played intramural basketball. And guess what? I dominated going up against 18 and 19-year-olds. That's pretty much what Stetson Bennett did as a 25-year-old quarterback. I mean, you're at a mature level, and he has just enough talent to actually read defenses and make great decisions. And that's how Stetson Bennett was able to catapult that offense to where they needed to go and win a national championship and blow out TCU in the national championship game.
Yeah, which, you know, Stetson's kind of been in the news lately for not so good stuff.
We don't really need to talk about that.
In my opinion, he should have went to the Senior Bowl. He should not.
I was shocked that he wasn't at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah. So before we recorded, I got on your show. I can go ahead and tell this for Jordan Show podcast.
Ooh, is this a tease for the Philip Jordan Show?
If you don't mind, if I tease on your show,
no.
I had NFL draft analyst John Vogel on. That's my guest, and he was there all week at Mobile, and we kind of get in that conversation on Stetson Bennett. And John has had some very interesting tweets. He's very opinionated on the Stetson Bennett thing. Like, he was kind of wondering, and he said he was kind of maybe teasing it a little bit, but if Stetson Bennett really want to play pro football, because he was kind of not sure if he actually had an agent and all that other stuff. And very interesting with Stetson. I think he should have been there at the Senior Bowl. Obviously, if he was at the Senior Bowl, he wouldn't have been in Dallas. He wouldn't have gotten in trouble. All that stuff wouldn't have happened. But, yeah, he could use that extra. And also, it's a good way to network, because you see a guy like Hendon Hooker who could not play, could not participate in practice, could not play in the game. He was there at Senior Bowl because there's somebody representing all 32 teams, and he was there talking to them. So it couldn't have hurt Stetson Bennett to be there. And especially if the quarterbacks weren't that great that were there anyways.
Did he ruin his draft status? Did his stock plummet after getting arrested for the public intoxication?
I don't think so, because we've seen players get in trouble for that stuff before.
I'll give you a name, Philip. You remember the name Laramie Tunzel?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Remember when he posted the Twitter video of him wearing the gas mask? And that he would have been at least a top two or top three pick, and he plummeted all the way down to, like, I can't remember exactly what it was, but the Miami Dolphins got him in the mid round in the first round because of that video. I mean,
that triggered a lot of the Hugh Freeze stuff at Ole Miss with Laramie Tunsil.
Yeah, I know.
When all that went on. And look, Baker Mayfield, obviously he had an intoxication arrest and stuff like that before he got drafted.
Well, he went number one, but look who drafted him, the Browns. Anyway.
Well.
No, I tell you, Philip, before I let you go, tell everybody out there who are my listeners where they can find you on social media and how they can download your podcast.
You can follow me on social media at PJordanSEC. Very easy to find. The Philip Jordan Show is on all your favorite podcast platforms. Stay tuned to social media. Hopefully I have some new stuff to announce. Obviously, during high school football season, the Wire Girls High School Football Report, it's on Apple Podcasts. And check out all my written work over at Last Word on College Football, where I mostly write about Auburn, but I sneak in some other stuff on there from time to time.
Philip, I got to say, keep grinding. You're doing great work. I'm grinding myself. Like the great Josh Pate has said, the grind is a blessing. I mean, he's really been a role model of mine because he really paved the way, and he was grinding more than anybody in this industry. And look at where he is now.
And don't lose the food.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I thank you so much, Philip, just for being here on the show. And we thank everybody out there who has been watching us here on Facebook Live. Don't forget that you can watch you can listen to a rebroadcast of this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. And we are also broadcasted Monday through Friday on WQEE. It's 99.1 in Noonan from 2 to 3. Great time slot and a great sports coverage as we just continue grinding here because we love talking about sports. Thank you so much, Philip.
Oh, anytime, Richard.
All right. Hope everybody has a great rest of your night, and we're out of here. Bye. You are listening to The Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, broadcasted on WQEE 99.1 FM The Key from 2 to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday. This is a local podcast that covers Columbus sports and beyond. If you would like to hear more of this podcast, you can download us on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, or Spotify. Wherever you get your podcasts, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.